Welcome to the Men's Global Livestream. If you have a Bible, just hold a spot in Matthew chapter 25. We are in a series called Multiply. And just as a headline, when anybody multiplies anything, there's more of whatever that thing is, not less. And that's really the big idea of this series spiritually. So when Jesus, in the context of talking about his return, is telling a story about a master that gives a significant amount of money to a few of his servants to manage while he is away, and then returns to see what they did with it. The headline is this: what did they do with what I gave them? That's the parable of the talents. A master gives his servants a sum of money, pretty significant. And when he returns, he wants to know, what did you do with what I gave you? And in part one, we laid a strong foundation for the Multiply series by going direct to the words of Jesus and unpacking that core idea to really see afresh the master's heart and to see afresh the servant who understood the master's heart. And in part one, we identified five things God has entrusted us with that he desires for us while we're here on earth to multiply before he returns. And those are life, salvation, relationships, natural and spiritual gifts, and material resources. So now what we're going to do in parts 2 through 6 is we're going to keep unpacking Jesus's words. We're going to look at each one of those areas and how we can multiply that specific area practically so that we can hear those same words when we meet the master face to face. Well done, good and faithful servant. And to get us thinking in the right direction for part 2, I want you to think tools, okay? You own some, whether you have a full workbench and your whole garage is built around your tools, or whether you have one of those little, you know, those little boxes of tools. Here's what is the common denominator. You have tools because they're created with specific jobs in mind, right? I don't know about you, I love a good tool, right? I even thank God, I don't know if you've done that, but I thank God for a good tool. Why? Because it saves me time. It saves me energy. It makes hard jobs easier, right? Right tool, right job, right purpose, right? And you multiply that creator of that tool's intention, right? I mean, I brought a couple props here. Hey man, I gotta love that thing, man. And that gets into some places where you need to go. It makes turning that thing easier and you don't have to break your wrist to get there, right? I mean, who doesn't love a good X-Acto knife? I mean, come on. This thing, how much time and energy has that saved you? Such a precise line, right? But you know what? I think every man appreciates a great power drill. It's got the bits that come off and, you know, you got that little box with all the bits and, I mean, how many pictures have you hung? I mean, can't do it without that thing. Anyway, enough about that. Here's why I'm doing this. The Bible says that you are his workmanship, right? You're created for good works. Just like Cobalt, the designer of this tool, has created this thing for some work, just like Stanley creates this X-Acto knife, created for specific work, and just like Bosch, the maker of this drill, has created this drill for specific work. And just like there's nothing more frustrating than trying to use a butter knife to get out a deeply embedded screw, right? You, as God's workmanship, created with a specific purpose in mind, you're gonna be frustrated. And you're going to be unfulfilled when you attempt to live outside the Creator's intentions, right? So today we're going to talk about multiplying our lives through aligning our lives with the Creator's intention. So as I discussed at the beginning of this session. Let's go to Jesus' words. Let's expand a little bit and unpack the multiply message again, and then we'll spend the balance of the session talking about how we multiply the life God has given. So if you've got your downloaded notes, you're going to see the definition of multiply. It's a verb, and the verb means this: to make more or become greater. Progressive growth in size, amount, or intensity. And so let's focus on Jesus' words that unpack that theme. And we find those words in Matthew 25, and we're going to expand the verses that we cover in today's session. It starts in verse 14 this time, and Jesus says, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To the one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. The one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So let's unpack sort of the expanded verses that we cover today. Let's unpack those simply, and we're going to focus just on some new dynamics. And the first thing I want you to notice is that the proportion was customized. All right, now, I don't want you to think because one servant got 5 talents, 1 got 3, and 1 got 1, that is not a lot, okay? 1 talent, or 1 bag, as the Bible says, is 63 pounds of a currency. So think 63 pounds of silver, 63 pounds of gold. So that 5 talent servant, or the 5 bags, that's a lot of dough, okay? 3 bags, right? 18,000 pounds of whatever. And then even the servant that got 1 talent or 1 bag, that's 63 pounds of gold. Let's put that in today's vernacular. That's almost $2 million at the current price of gold. And I think the lesson there is not every man has the same bank account or same profile, but what God allots to every man, it's still in his mind. It's a lot and has great value. So I just want you to pause and think about your life and think about the customized proportion of things that God has entrusted you with. Now, whether you're the 1 bagger or the 5 bagger, it's a lot, right? Number 2, what we see is private character recognized. You'll notice in the passage, he says, good servant, well done, good servant. You know what that's a recognition of? That's a recognition of character. And I want you to connect character with this multiplying servant who hears that. You want to be a multiplier? Start developing some good character, and you will multiply the life that God has given you, right? And then third, you see private conduct. So he says, well done, good servant. There's character. And faithful, right? There's conduct. Coming out of that good character is this faithful conduct where, just defined by the word, faithful, he takes risks with what the master has entrusted him in order to multiply and create more with what he's been given. He's faithful to multiply. And I want you to connect those two words as well. If you want to be a multiplier, of what God has given you, then you have to be faithful to take some risks to multiply whatever it is that God has given to you. Fourth, we move from private, you know, character and conduct to public recognition. Write that down, right? He's talking, it's like, well done. Okay, now that's an attaboy, right? And that's also indicative of what the master upon his return wants to say to everyone of his servants. That's Jesus's heart. Jesus is not stingy with recognition. He just wants us to see us be good and to be faithful, to have character and have that character expressed in conduct that shows that we understand the heart of the master. So there's public recognition. And then what's cool about this is there's also public promotion. Write that down. So not only is there tracking, right? Well done. But then there's this trusting, this new trusting, which is, I'm going to put you in charge of a lot of things. And if you kind of watch the domino, even though the proportion is customized, right? Each man is allotted and given things. Really what we need to focus on is, man, we got to develop that character. That character is going to be expressed in conduct. And Jesus is tracking, he's the master. He's tracking our character in conduct. And if our character, if we develop our character and become good, and that character produces conduct that honors his heart, he tracks it, and then he's going to trust us with even more. You know, some of you are listening, you're like, gosh, why hasn't God, you know, given me more? Or how come I don't have more influence? Or how come I don't have more responsibility? Or why don't I have that title? Can we just go to this text and just identify that, you know, before the promotion came, there was character and there was consistent conduct in that character. You know, some of you, God wants you to hear this, where you're praying for more, you want that promotion, you want to grow financially, but you know what it takes to do that and be a multiplier for God? Is it requires character and conduct that can manage the weight of receiving more. So God may have you in a circumstance where he's developing your character first before he's going to bless you with more, because he doesn't want the blessing to get you sideways in your relationship with him, or he doesn't want it to send you in directions that you don't want to go. And God's more concerned with your character than he is your comfort. So that's a good lesson to see there. Now, in the Bible, you see this theme of being careful with what you're given and making the most. And we see it in Ephesians 5. We're going to put those verses on the screen. Let's read that together. It says this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." I love this verse because it sort of supports everything that Jesus is saying in the parable of the talents about character and conduct, and it's so clear. Right here in Ephesians, it's like, be careful. Take care to do what? To live intentionally, right? You have one life. Live to multiply it. Live intentionally. Take care. Well, what does that look like? Well, make the most of it by understanding what it is that the Lord wants you to do. We're going to unpack that even further in today's study. So there's our, let's look at the words of Jesus. Let's pull out some new dynamics related to the parable of the talents. And let's get some strong momentum going for us in terms of multiply. All right, we're gonna transition and now move to that first area that we discussed in part one, where we're gonna talk about multiplying my life by aligning it with God's creative intention. You'll see that on your notes. Let's go back to a verse that we used in part one. It's from Job 33:4. Let's read that together. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Okay, so there is you, and then there's your creator, and the truth we're trying to connect is there's a creative intention, right, behind him creating you. You're his workmanship, right? So now let's look at what you're created for, right? God's word declares, and write this down, it's your first big fill-in under how you multiply your life. This is what you need to know. What's God's intention? Number one, I'm created for his pleasure. Write that down. I'm created for his pleasure. In the book of Revelation, it talks about this. In chapter 4, verse 11, says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created," listen, "what you pleased." Isn't that a great thought? You know, when something is pleasing to anybody, it's satisfying a desire. And if you make the connection between you and you have a creator and he created you and he was pleased in creating you, what it means is God wanted you created because it was gonna satisfy a desire inside of him. I know that's mind-blowing, and it should be. That every person that's alive right now that God has created, it is pleasing that he created. It satisfies him. It satisfies a desire. God wants you. God wants every person you see created, and it's satisfying a personal desire that he had. Just press the pause button on that. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening around you in your circumstances, just know the fact that you're alive and you're a living being, it satisfies a part of God's heart. Pretty cool. Now, when we come into relationship with our Creator, he deposits a couple specific things that are in line with that intention of pleasing him. We read about it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Pretty cool. So God deposits a desire to please him, and he gives you the power to please him. Now, some of us are running a little low on the power thing. You know, maybe circumstances have beat you down. Maybe you're running a little low on physical energy. Good, because then you get to be you're a candidate for power that's not yours. You're a candidate for supernatural power. And that supernatural power is going to come in you and go through you so that you can do in this moment what pleases him. I want to talk to some of you right now. You're depleted, you're out of energy, life's kicking you in the butt, okay? I just want to declare upon you power from Jesus, power from the Holy Spirit, power to do the next thing that pleases him. Not all the things, just the next thing that pleases him. And for many of you, you're hanging on by fingernails, and the next right thing is to try to get maybe your fingers on the place in the cliff. Just get your fingers around just so you can hang on a little stronger. For others of you, that may mean you got to do something hard. For others of you, you might need to be obedient. For others of you, that may mean you're going to have that conversation. For a lot of you, it means just being courteous when you're low and not projecting your fatigue physically or emotionally on other people. Why? Because you're created for his pleasure. God is going to give you, I declare in his name, God is going to give you not just the power, but the desire. Your desire is going to be refreshed. and you're going to do the thing that pleases him. Now, what we want to cover lastly under this heading of, gosh, how do I multiply my life? I multiply my life that God's given by aligning it with his creative intention. Number one creative intention is, I made you to bring me pleasure. We see Jesus do that. And we're going to make a connection. We read about that in John 8, 29 and 30. It says this, and this is Jesus talking, and the one who sent me is with me. He's not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Catch this. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Kind of cool, right? The one who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. And even in verbalizing that, people go, huh, yeah, you do. You do please him. And they come to faith. You know, I'm thinking about the greatest evangelistic tool is a life that consistently and in faith and obedience pleases God. Think about that. But what I want you to hear is each of these things that we're talking about, in terms of multiplying our life by aligning it with our Creator's intention. This first one, I'm created for his pleasure. Jesus models that, right? And what Jesus models for us is meant for us. In fact, God wants us to be like Jesus. So if this is Jesus and Jesus is in me, on an increasing basis, this will be me. And it's not contingent on circumstances. I'm going to do the things that please God. Okay, so you want to know how to multiply your life? Well, you align it with the Creator's intention. And the first intention God has for you is to bring him pleasure. The second intention, write this down, I'm created to reflect his goodness. Wow. How many dads out there? Isn't that what we all want? We want our kids to reflect the best in us and mute the parts that are the worst in us. And when they reflect the best in us, that makes us jump for joy on the inside. It helps us kind of stick our chest out and say, yeah, that's my boy. God feels the same way. Look at what it says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Listen, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Okay, so there's the Creator's intention, and that's for you to give him pleasure. And like the next domino falls, well, how do we give him pleasure? Well, we give God pleasure by reflecting his character. Well, what's God's character? Well, God is good. So when we become good people on the inside in our character, and that goodness is expressed in conduct, we reflect the goodness of our Father, much the way a son, when he does the same thing, reflects the Father in your family. We're in God's family, and we reflect the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 on this theme. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, here's your example, and you must follow in his steps. So I'm taking great pains to look at these intentions that the Creator has for us and linking them to Jesus. And the reason I'm doing that is because if this is Jesus and Jesus is in you, then this is going to look more and more like you, right? Now, again, on this point, after, you know, I'm created for his pleasure, and on this point of I'm created to reflect his goodness, listen to the words of Jesus talking to people, right? John chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? So again, Jesus models for us what is meant for us, that Jesus reflects the character of his Father through his good works. And again, good works saves nobody. Jesus did all the work. But once we are saved, we transform into the likeness of Jesus. And Jesus reflects the good Father, and we start reflecting the Father through our good works. So you see that we have the pattern in Jesus of reflecting God's goodness. Again, what Jesus models for us is meant for us. So I'm created for God's pleasure. I'm created to reflect His goodness. And then the third intention is I'm created to fulfill His vision. And I wanna kind of paint a picture of this from the Bible, where you have a man and then you have God kind of walking a God's man, in this case it's Jeremiah, into this understanding. And I want you to listen for this understanding, right? Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Quote, "Go down to the potter's house, and I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter reformed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. And I love that story, because when God the potter enters the life of a man, something happens. There's a stopping and there's a starting. We stop living the life we think we ought to live. We stop living the life we feel we deserve to live. We stop living the life our feelings tell us, or our fears tell us we should be living. And we stop living the life others feel that we should be living. And we start living the life God created us to live and calls us to live. And when we do that, we demonstrate that we know the Master's heart, and we multiply what the Master has given us, our very life, and we're on our way to well done, good and faithful servant. You see, the clay, which is you and me, is forming around the potter's vision, not the other way around. And that's something that we need to hear as God's man. That sometimes in our own minds, in our own hearts, we lift ourselves up. And just as silly as it seems for the clay to tell the potter how to shape it, that's what we do. The clay's job is to be humble in the potter's hand, you and I. The clay's job is to be flexible in the potter's hand. The clay's job is to be teachable in the potter's hand. And another aspect that I love about what Jeremiah was shown by the Lord was when Jeremiah observes that the pot that he's observing the potter shape, the clay in it was marred. So that means that it was misshapen, and like a piece fell off or something happened, but it was marred. And some of you watching this live stream today, you believe a lie. You believe that you're marred. Maybe there's some unresolved pain, or maybe there's some lie that you believe that is rooted perhaps in some trauma or some formation, and it's so tore into your heart and spirit that you feel like you're less than, or you feel like you're marred, or you feel like, and you know what God is saying? It's all right, because you know what? I'm gonna take that marred part of your life, that trauma, that abuse, that injury where part of you died. God's going to take that marred part, and he's going to reshape it and he's going to make something new out of you because he has a vision. The potter can redeem even the marred things, and I love that. So you imagine this wheel spinning and something falls off, you know, just like the wheels fall off your life or something happens, and then the potter just kind of catches it, and then the wheel is spinning, and then he just starts shaping it. And he starts redeeming it, and he starts repurposing it, and he starts transforming our pain into a purpose. And maybe there's other people that have been through something that we've been through, and as the potter has taken the marred places of our lives and reshaped it, we can then step into the life of someone who feels marred and broken, and it's fatal and it's final. We can say, no, God wants to use this for his glory. I love that. You know, Jesus, again, as we talk about how we are created to fulfill his vision, created for his pleasure, created to reflect his goodness, and in this, as we're talking about potter and clay, created to fulfill his vision, sometimes that involves hard stuff, right? Sometimes God's vision for us is not our vision. And we read about a moment where Jesus runs smack into a vision God has for him on earth that collides with feelings and collides with fear. And then we see him work through it, and it's for us. We read about that in Matthew 26, verses 37 to 39. And I love that he did this in community. Listen, we'll roll the film. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Wow, there's a collision of vision right there. But Jesus models for his men that fears and feelings will not pollute God's vision for him on earth. And aren't you glad he didn't let fears or feelings pollute God's vision for him on earth, which involved suffering for God's glory? And because Jesus did not allow fears or feelings to cloud God's vision for his experience here on earth, we're all going to heaven. That's what's on the other side of multiplying a life here on earth like Jesus. That's what's on the other side of pleasing God. That's what's on the other side of reflecting the good character of the Father through good works. That's what's on the other side of fulfilling his vision for your life. Not someone else's, not fear's vision, not the vision that your wounds suggest, but God's vision. I love that. And so when we see Jesus battle for God's vision for his life on earth, and we see him move to fulfill that vision, that's when what he does gets multiplied. He multiplies his life here on earth. Talks about that in Romans 5:19. It's not on your notes, but it says, "Just as through the disobedience of the one man, many became sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, many became righteous." See the multiplying factor of allowing your God's vision in a moment, which looks like obedience in the moment, looks like faithfulness in the moment, looks like saying no to yourself to say yes to God in a moment and going against fears and feelings. The consequence of what is on the other side of that small axle of choosing to fulfill God's vision is monumental. And again, that's Jesus. Jesus is in us. Increasingly, this is us. So that's the what you need to know in terms of multiplying the life God has given you. What do I need to know? You're created for His pleasure. You're created to reflect His goodness. You're created to fulfill His vision. Now, what about the how? How do I live and please Him? How do I reflect His goodness? How do I fulfill His vision for my life? Thank God, Jesus kept it super simple. In fact, that's what the guys who were following Him wanted to know the most. They're like, okay, all right, I'm in. Like, where do I put my energy? And we read about that in Matthew 22. Let's roll the film on perhaps the greatest question ever asked, right? Let's read Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, the question that was asked, you could rephrase it very easily. What He's really asking is, how do I channel my energy here on earth prior to entering eternity with You? Okay, which is the greatest priority? What's the greatest commandment? And, you know, there's a lot of commandments, you know, at that point. You know, there's a lot of commandments in the law. There's a lot of do's and don'ts. There's a lot of men taking the original do's and don'ts and creating thousands more do's and don'ts. And Jesus just goes, distills, just goes, ooh. And He said, you know what? Here's where you put your energy. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with. Do that thing in that space, place, and context which shows love for God or shows love for people. There's your filter. Push all your chips to the center of the table on that and put all your energy into that. Doing that thing in that moment, space, place, or context that will show love for God and show love for people. There you go. One filter, a bunch of different expressions based on where you are, who you're with, what the situation is, what's going on, what the relational context is. Thank you, Jesus, for simplifying where to put our energy so that we can please You, so that we can reflect Your goodness, and so that we can fulfill Your vision. I want you to write down a multiply fact related to this simplification. Write this down. My best energies reflect my truest priorities. You tell me what your priority is, and I'll tell you whether that's true or not. Whether or not you put energy into it, because you're going to put your best energy into your truest priority. So if our truest priority is doing that thing that shows love for God or people in the spaces, places, and contexts we find ourselves, then I know, right, that God's my big priority, that loving God and loving people, that's my filter, and I want to multiply my life. And so you're on your way. This is a great place to start. God's given you life, right? Okay, Cobalt didn't make you. Stanley didn't make you. Bosch didn't make you. The creator of the universe made you with a specific intention. And that's to bring Him pleasure, reflect His goodness, and fulfill His vision. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You've given us one life and we're here for a time. And You created us, and that satisfied a desire, and now we have Your intentions. And Lord, together with my brothers in community all over the world, we just want to say back to You, we want to please You in everything we do. Father, we want to reflect Your goodness. And Father, we want to fulfill the vision you have for us, not the vision that the world has for us, or that our flesh has for us, or that our feelings has for us, or our fears have for us. We want to fulfill the vision you have for us. So as good clay, with marred parts, for sure, mold us, form us, shape us as it seems best to you. And thank you, Father, that you're shaping us to be like Jesus. And thank you that we just need to focus simply on doing the things that show love for you and other people wherever we are today, wherever we're living, whoever we're with. And that will give you pleasure, reflect your goodness, and fulfill your vision. So fill us with desire and power now through the Holy Spirit to do that and help us multiply the life you've given us. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said, amen. Share this with a friend, and we'll see you part 3 next week.